Dr. Paul Sundberg, I'm the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center.
Paul, China has reported another case of African swine fever, and the latest is on the largest hog farm to date. And I see that the Chinese officials have called for more oversight because the virus is spreading. What can you tell us about how they're handling the outbreak in China and the significance of this latest case?
Well, they are they're focusing on people movement, pig movement, and swill feeding in China right now. That's the report that I get from on the ground over in China, not necessarily the government, have the focus on those things. And they're trying to work on containing the virus through that. One of the things that we know that they still have a challenge with is the transportation. A lot of transport vehicles over there have wooden floors and in other manners, and so biosecurity and transportation is going to continue to be a real problem, a real challenge for them as they go forward.
Can you look at other outbreaks, maybe here in the U.S., the PEDV outbreak, and how that spread and the duration of the virus and ultimately what led to the stop of the spread, to give some insight into what to expect in China going forward?
Yeah, if you're going to compare this to PED and what we did in the U.S., we had a very explosive outbreak, and PED is a little bit of a different bug because it causes massive losses very quickly. But at that time, what we did is we learned the lessons for management and being able to control, and that includes biosecurity and transport of the virus. If you compare that to African swine fever, ASF isn't quite the explosive virus that that PED is. It certainly can cause 100% mortality, but that could be over a period of 2 weeks, say. And so there is a little bit difference there in identifying, quickly being able to identify the virus. That gives another challenge. And the type of production that they have in China with better than half of their 500 million pigs in outdoor production, that type of thing that has more challenges with biosecurity, they're going to have a significant challenge in trying to control this and learn those lessons for management and stopping the spread of the virus.
Has the message to U.S. pig farmers changed at all as far as the amount, the level of concern, given that ASF is still spreading in China, or has the message from kind of day one remained the same?
Yeah, you know, that message from day one is exactly the same. The whole thing here is that we are looking with USDA to try to prevent introduction into the U.S., but ultimately, the for the producer, it is everyday biosecurity, and any time that there is an unusual event, an unusual loss, something that is of question on the farm, to get a professional involved right away. Call your veterinarian, make sure you know what is going on in your herd, don't assume, and that'll be the fastest way that we can catch it if it gets into the U.S. So we'll hope that never happens, but the issue is that if it does, we don't want to miss it when it first starts.
I don't believe you and I have talked about holding feed ingredients a certain length of time to, I guess, not ensure. You can answer that. I don't know how effective that is and what the amount of days needs to be, but talk a little bit about that strategy here in the U.S., Paul, holding those feed ingredients for, say, 40, 50, 60 days to mitigate the chance that that virus is alive before it goes into rations.
We know that through our work, the experiments that have been done, we know that the virus degrades or inactivates the longer it sits. And in feed products, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, those types of things, the research that we've done shows that after seeding the virus and sealing the container, if there's any contamination in anything produced in China, that sealing that container, closing that bag up, it will take about 78 days for 99.99% of any any viral contamination that's in the feed product to degrade and inactivate. So 78 days after a born-on date, you can be fairly well assured that 99.99% of any contamination in there is gone. That's a really important thing. The transport of African swine fever and other viruses by feed products has been pretty well demonstrated and pretty well verified. We can move viruses that way. We haven't yet proven that we can transmit the viruses and infect pigs that way. We know that that happened with PED. We don't know that it'll happen with ASF or CSF, FMD, or any of the others. But we know that looking at that theory, that 78 days after a born-on date is when you can be assured that 99.99% is gone. The born-on date is important because the transit time from China or from Europe or wherever, the transit time can vary. So holding it, for example, for 30 days or 35 or 40 days at your feed mill may or may not be sufficient. It may be way overkill and it may be not sufficient. The born-on date and applying that 78 days is what's important. Now, the next thing that I want to make sure that everyone's aware of is that we're also sponsoring additional research into that into that 78-day holding time. It's based on the rate that the virus decays in the feed, and right now that's really preliminary data, but it's the best guess that we've got. And we're doing research to make sure that we put all the science we can behind that. So keep tuned because it may change in the near future. We'll give updates as soon as that research is done.
If I'm understanding correctly, some of those vitamins and amino acids can only be sourced from China. And if that's true, Paul, that really surprises me. I would think at this point, and as far along as the U.S. pork industry is, that to me is kind of alarming that we can't domestically source that ourselves, or that our only source is China. Is that true?
For some of the ingredients, especially some of the vitamins, that is true. We've just built the infrastructure, or actually we've lost the infrastructure in the U.S., and the global infrastructure has been built that's based on economics. It's cheaper to manufacture some products in China or elsewhere offshore and bring it in. That's just the way it is, so that doesn't give us in the U.S. or elsewhere around the world economic incentive to build those plants and make those products. So it's a global economy, and we're looking at all kinds of different sources and the availability of quantity enough to service the U.S. industry. For some of those vitamins, the only source that we have is China.
Do you think this outbreak and the threat of certain feed ingredients will change that dynamic?
Well, it certainly is changing the conversation. I don't know if it will change the economics, which will move the market, but it certainly is changing the conversation. And I know that producers here are asking for and looking for different alternative sources. So at least we're starting with that. And any time, of course, that we can source domestically, we can take those kinds of disease introduction risks out of the equation.
And that maybe speaks to something even bigger here. And I know you don't necessarily go into the economics. You're more on just the presence of disease and monitoring that. But when you look at how big China is globally as far as pork production, and with this virus spreading and other markets that are probably closing their doors to Chinese pork at this time, and then the possibility that some of these key ingredients that they provide to other countries, those countries may be thinking twice about that now. This could really have some significant ramifications, I would think, for the Chinese pork producer.
Yeah, this whole issue of ASF in China, especially in China now, is very complicated. It's got a lot of tentacles going out there, and there are going to be a lot of unintended consequences. There's going to be a lot of things that happen because of that global economy, and they all mesh together. And when you start getting one gear out of sync with the others, you're going to have things affected. And it is a complicated matter, just as you've said.
We'll probably talk about African swine fever again in a matter of weeks, Paul, but for today's conversation, anything else that you think we have to include?
Well, you know, there is one thing, and you were interested in the change of the virus and how it is, if it is, moving into the larger herd. So I went back and I looked at some data. And this is data, again, not necessarily official data, but what I've gotten from some sources in China. And just for an example, it's really interesting, just for example, from the beginning of the outbreak in August through September, the average herd size that has been reported has been 320 pigs. In October, the average herd size of outbreaks just in October jumped to 3,000 pigs. And that October 14th outbreak where there were 20,000 is certainly going to skew that. But if you take that out, October still has an average herd size outbreak of 1,700. So the first 2 months of the outbreak, average size was 320. The last month, the average size has been 1,700 to 3,000, depend on how you calculate it. So it illustrates the issues that they have with biosecurity and the spread of the virus. It's just going to be a very difficult thing for them to get under control, and we have to do everything we can do here in the U.S. to recognize that and to harden our borders, harden our systems, and do everything we can do to keep that virus out of the country.